Good morning.
Good morning.
We thank the Lord this morning for the good song service that we've had and for the beautiful weather. It just makes a person glad to be alive, to be able to enjoy such blessings of the Lord. I ask your prayers this morning because I have been for the last three times that I've filled the stand trying to speak about our articles of faith and how that they come together and what it means for us to believe in these articles and what they mean. As I said before, these are not by any means all that is included in the scriptures, but these are the things that we hold to and believe as a church. If you was going to another order of people, you would surely have your articles that you would hold to that would define you as what you believe. Well, these are what we believe here at Bethlehem. And if I would love to be able to sit down and visit with you about these if you have questions. But we spoke about the doctrinal issues of some of the ones before. The first one, of course, talks about the inspiration of the scriptures, or the eternal God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the Holy Scriptures. Then the third one talks about the doctrine of predestination, election, fourth one, it says we believe in the doctrine of original sin, total depravity, and that man by nature is totally unable to rift himself up and to partake of these things. We also, it says, we believe that the saints shall be preserved by grace and shall never finally fall away. These doctrines of grace are an identification with us of what we believe. These doctrines are what we hold to, and the very next one is the one that I want to talk about this morning. And I'll read the entire article for you. We believe that baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of Jesus Christ, and that feet washing is an example, a duty connected with the supper, and that true believers are the only subjects of either and should be practiced by the churches, and that baptism by immersion is the apostolic mode. Now, we hold to these principles of doctrine, and we also practice what is called closed communion. We believe that those who endorse these doctrines that we speak of up here are the ones that and are identified with the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, it would be fine for me to go over to St. Matthew's and partake of the communion there, because we endorse these doctrines. We believe these principles together. But for me to go to another order and embrace and take communion with them, not believing these principles, would be, in my mind, what the scripture says, not discerning the Lord's body. So having said those things, I'd like for you, if you have your scriptures, to follow me this morning if you'd like. And I want to leave some time for Brother Mark. But we will look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a place where the Lord says, through the Apostle Paul, we believe that the inspiration of the scriptures, right? We believe that if we're looking here at the Apostle Paul's writings, we believe that we are also speaking of the writings of Jesus Christ, because Paul said, the things that I preach and things that I write unto you, I didn't receive them from man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we look at the red letters over in the Gospels, if we're going to say all the letters of Jesus, well, all of these scriptures that Paul preached was of the doctrines and the principles that Jesus believed. Okay, now it says in verse 1, and we're not going to read all of this. I know there's some things in here that are very pertinent, but I want to just, now keep in mind that we're talking here about an identification with a set of principles and a set of doctrines by which we believe. Be ye followers of mine, of me, even as I also am of Christ. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When I quit following Christ, don't follow me anymore. And this would be pertinent to any of us ministers, that if you believe what we believe here, and the deacons are to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, they're to be able to discern whether or not I'm speaking and teaching proper doctrine. And so it says, as you follow me, as I follow Christ. Now, he says, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, plural. Now, this is what are said. We believe that baptism and the Lord's Supper are ordinances of Jesus Christ. I don't know of any other two. But the feet washing is connected with this, as we said. It is an example that's given by Jesus Christ. He said, if I, your Lord and Master, had done this, and I don't want to get on Brother Mark's part, but he's going to speak to you about the feet washing. But I want us to see the identification with what we're doing this morning with what these principles set forth in the Bible. It's important that we understand this. But I would have you to know. Now, I want to skip that and look and go over to verse 17. Now, the problem here in this church was that in the particular context was that they were eating and drinking at this table, like coming down here and eating. We'll all gather around here and we're going to eat and for the purpose of filling our stomachs, and we'll drink the wine. By the way, there's some that don't think this was real wine. Well, it's hard for me to discern, brothers and sisters, how someone can get intoxicated on grape juice. Can you understand how that would happen? So we know that this was wine that was in this supper. So it says that one eats and the other drinks, and it says they are one is drunken. It says. So, and now notice this. Now, in this, I do not praise you for this, that you come together, not for the better, but for the worst. For first of all, now I want you to see how he connects doctrine here. For first of all, you come together in the church. I hear that there are divisions among you. There are divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you. That they which are approved may be made manifest among you. What is a heresy? A heresy is something. Now, some people would define that differently, but a heresy is something that is contrary to orthodoxy. It is something. If I began to preach doctrines that is not set forth in these articles, Brother Tom, it's your responsibility to set me down and correct me in doing so. I was ordained to preach the gospel under these principles. And when I quit preaching the gospel under these principles, I need to be dealt with accordingly. Okay? Now, so it's important that we understand, brothers and sisters, the connection with our feet washing and our communion service with these principles of doctrine. It's not something that we take lightly, dear brethren. It is very serious. And that's why he goes into this. He says, there are divisions among you, and there's heresies among you, which are approved may be made manifest among you. He says, how are we going to know, Brother Mark, if I'm preaching truth? He said, it shall be made manifest. Well, how's it going to be made manifest? By the word of God. That's the only way. And it's important that I understand number two says, we believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the inspiration of God and are the infallible rule of faith and practice for the saints. This is the infallible word of God. I have no authority to go contrary to this. And as it says, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And it's important that we see that they were doing this improperly. Okay. Now he says, verse 22, what have ye not houses to eat and drink in? or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Now notice what he's saying, and we're going to talk very briefly about these next verses. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. It was the same night that Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ that they came together in the upper room and instituted the Lord's Supper. Okay? And when he gave, and when he had given thanks, he break it. Break what? The bread. He prayed, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And said, take, eat. Eat. This is my body. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Did he mean there that this bread is literally the body of Christ? Did he believe that when, as some teach, that when we take this bread into our mouth, that it somehow turns into the body and the physical body of Christ? Do we believe that? What if I taught that? I hope you'd kick me out of here. It's not the truth. So you see, when we're talking about this, we're talking about these are emblems. When we're looking at this bread, it is an emblem. It is that which is a picture of the blood, the body of Christ. It means, and notice it says, it is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. I think it's important that we see that the Lord's body was broken in many ways. His body was broken, but there was not a single bone that was broken. His body was broken by the Roman scourge. His body was broken by the terrible thorn, crown of thorns that they pushed down upon him. But he said, this body is broken for you. And every single, we could go to Isaiah 53 and talk about how important it is that we see that this is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we take this bread into our mouths, it's important that we understand that this is an emblem of what Jesus was for us. This is the body of Jesus Christ in picture and emblem. It is unleavened bread. That means this body that lived upon this earth for 33 and a half years, it was a sinless body. It was totally free from leaven and sin. It had notes, and the blood that fed this body was pure, precious blood. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. The New Testament, not the Old Testament, but the New Testament, the New Covenant, if you please. The Old Covenant was the blood of bulls and goats. It was the blood shed by the bulls and goats and by the law and all these things. He said that the bulls and goats could not take away sin. But by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant. The new covenant. Not the old, the new. And that's what he's speaking of here. So if we're going to go and find a place where we want to practice what the Lord's church teaches, we've got to go to the new covenant. The New Testament. I believe that the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For as often as you eat this bread, now listen to this, it's important. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, if it's every week, twice a year, once a year, as often as you do it, it specifies no specific time. But as often as you do it, you must do it to show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, first of all, death. Death. He died. For what? For sin. His death. You cannot, brethren and sisters, you cannot separate the shedding of blood from death. Because the life of the flesh is in the blood. So he willingly poured out, he shed his blood. And that's what this cup is emblematic of, the blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious blood. It's not like the blood of bulls and goats that could never take away sin. But this is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, as often as you drink this cup, and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, now this is, I got up with this text on my mind this morning. I also took some antihistamine. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup, this is, listen to this, of the Lord unworthily. Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Okay, now what does it mean to eat unworthily? First of all, the word unworthily means irreverently or disrespectfully. And it goes on and says not discerning the Lord's body in the following verses. But if we're waiting, you say, well, I don't feel worthy. I don't either. And if we wait until we get worthy to partake of it, this is the most precious, this is the greatest privilege that you as a human being have, is to sit down at the Lord's table, dear brother, and partake of this ordinance. This is an ordinance that was given to the church, not to the world. It was given to the church. It's a church ordinance. It's not something, and if you are a member of the Primitive Baptist Church and have endorsed these doctrines, then we invite you to come and partake of this with us. We mean no disrespect for you, but we believe that the ones that have come and have been baptized by one of our ministers in one of our churches are the ones that partake of this. This is what we call closed communion. It's not the communion's not closed, really. It's baptism. Baptism. Come. If you believe these principles and you believe these doctrines and you embrace these principles, then why, here is water, what doth hinder you? What doth hinder you to be baptized? But until you are, this is closed to you. Now then, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the Lord. But let a man, now this is important. This is not something, it doesn't tell me to go and examine you, Brother Mark, or Brother Bill, or Brother Lindell, to see if you're worthy. Where am I? I'm to look inwardly to me. To me. Examine me, Alan Daniels. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, irreverently, disrespectfully, not discerning these doctrines and these principles. They're connected. They mean something. Eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, this is how serious it is now. For this cause, many are weak, many are sickly, and many have died or sleep. Is it important that we do this correctly? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This doesn't, this, whether you do this today or never do it, but when you do it, let's do it with the discernment of these scriptures, knowing how important it is. If there's ever a time, brothers and sisters, that you should be seriously, gravely minded, it's today. God bless. Go ahead, brothers.
It is a precious day. It should be important and precious to all of us, what we do here today. What I find interesting about the Passover Supper and the things that surround it, the elements that Brother Allen was preaching about are also elements found in the original Passover Supper. And as I considered what Brother Allen was preaching and the importance of looking to the New Testament and to the words which Jesus spoke about what these things mean, I have been thinking this weekend and in the days leading up to today that another thing we don't want to lose is the understanding of the historicity of the things that we do today, the historical aspects of what we do today. These things which we will do this morning are something that have been done by the Lord's people for over 1,000 years. This is something that has ties back to that last night of our Lord's life. The wine and the bread, these were offered to the disciples over 1,500 years ago as the Lord gave these instructions, as Brother Allen has preached to us. And even before that, we find that the Lord, not willing to leave one part of His obligations as a Jew unfinished, instituted these teachings following the Passover Supper, linking these two things together, talking about links, Brother Allen. But when we consider the full aspect, the fullness of what happened that night, as they took that supper in the upper room, what I find fascinating is that something completely different, something completely unexpected happened that night. There was a time following the drinking of the wine and the taking of the bread where the Lord, on that night, when these things happened, something that shocked Peter, to be quite honest, also happened. Because the Lord rose from supper, it says in the 13th chapter of the book of John. The Lord rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself, poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. So the Lord of glory, the Son of the living God, He whom Peter and James and John had seen transfigured on the mountain, the One who had power over the natural elements, power over disease and sickness, power even over life and death itself, that same One took a towel and knelt at His disciples' feet and washed their feet. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Dost thou wash my feet?" And we can begin to understand when we consider what Brother Allen has preached and the elements of the Passover and the communion. Peter, beholding his Master kneeling down at his feet, uttered words similar to what John uttered when Jesus came to the banks of the River Jordan and desired of John that he be baptized. You remember what John said? "Rather, it is necessary, it is right for me to be baptized of thee." Peter said, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." Peter saith unto him, "Thou shalt never wash my feet. Lord, it is not right, it is not proper, it is unseemly for you, my Master, to kneel down at my feet, because that is a place of a servant." Jesus is going to cover that in just a few moments. "That is the place of a servant. Lord, it's not right for you to kneel down and take the place of a servant at my feet. Rather, it is necessary, it is right for me to be a servant to you. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Now we come down to the brass tacks. Now we get down to it. Jesus and Peter are going to have an exchange, and I want to move on through these scriptures. But Peter objected that Jesus, not that he should wash his feet, but that Jesus should be doing it, because that was the place for a servant, not the place of the king. Peter had confessed himself, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." When Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? Peter knew full well who this man was. And he felt uncomfortable. It was unseemly and improper for this man, Jesus, to take this place of a servant. And Jesus says, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Because not, and this is the paradox of being a believer in Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus our Lord and our King, but as He Himself said, He came to minister. He came to serve. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Peter would write to the Philippians while he was sitting in a Roman jail. So Jesus continued to wash his feet. And he said unto his disciples, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. He is the Lord and Master of all. Of all creation, of all the universe, of that which is seen and that which is unseen. There is no name greater than the name Jesus Christ. You say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. The purpose of this, after taking the bread and the wine and remembering the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus Himself made, hanging on the cross, shedding His blood and giving His life so that we might stand before our God holy and without blame, He leaves us something. He says, if I have washed your feet, if I, your Lord and Master, your King and the Son of the living God, if I have done this for you, then do not neglect to do it for your brothers and sisters. If I have done it for you, then you should do it for one another. And we see this theme running throughout the New Testament scriptures in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. When they asked Him how they should pray, He gave them that model prayer. And then He, in one of the gospel accounts, one of the writers recalls for us that Jesus says, and if you don't forgive your brethren, then I shall not forgive you. How do you know that one is a believer in Jesus Christ, that one is a child of God, when they love the brethren? All of these things tie together. Jesus says, if I've done this for you, then this is your example to do it for others, for your brothers and sisters. And He speaks of being a servant. Peter objected because this was the Lord and His Master. And He took the place of a servant to wash His feet. And Jesus made it very clear that not only is He Lord and Master, but He also came to serve, to fulfill the will of His Father who sent Him, and to be to be redemption and a ransom for many. He came to serve while He was here on the earth, and He left that example in the foot washing service for us, saying, if I do this for you, then you do this for others. What I find fascinating about His use of the word servant there is this, as I close. That word is a word used to describe a bond slave. Somebody who was born into bondage to serve the master of the house. And the bond of slavery in that case can only be broken by death. The servant is not greater than his Lord. Jesus came to serve in this life. And what's fascinating is that though He hung on the cross, and though He was dead 3 days in that borrowed tomb, He rose triumphant again. After 3 days, they found the stone rolled away, the grave clothes folded and laid on the side. He's not dead. He is alive, He is the Lord and the King of all, and yet still daily He makes intercession for us. Even still today, He is serving His people. Service is the purpose of the foot washing. As we partake of this, let us recall that our Lord and Master did this for His disciples on that night. And He did it for us when He hung upon the cross. He washed us as white as snow, taking our sins away from us, as far as the east is from the west. And as we wash one another's feet, let us remember that service which He did and which He does for us daily in making intercession for us. To serve one another is the mark. It is the symbol of who we are as God's children. We serve. And that is the example that He left for us when He washed His disciples' feet.